Welcome to the Deep Fried Podcast.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Deep Fried Podcast. I'm Javin Joyce.
It's your boy, Seth Gaylor. 2 years later.
Yeah, it's been a minute. We had to take a quick pause just because your boy went down back to college over the summer. And yeah, we've been busy since. Let's, what have you been up to, man?
Yeah, so last time we talked about just our personal lives. We said that we just graduated, right?
Yeah.
Ever since graduating, that sounds weird. Since I've graduated, I have gone to Boyce College in Louisville, Kentucky. Great school. Would highly recommend it. Currently, I'm back hanging out with Javin, obviously. Just taking a gap semester, make some cash, you know. Living the college life, loving it, working a lot.
Let's go.
Javin, what's new in the last 2 years?
Yeah, so, I mean, just graduated, which is kind of weird to say. It feels like forever ago. But yeah, recently just got married like 3 months ago to the love of my life. Shout out Andrea. And yeah, we've both been still working at the good old Chick-fil-A, which is kind of the name after this podcast. But yeah, just been grinding, got married, working super hard, hanging with the boys every chance I get, but we're chilling.
We are certified bums. We don't really do anything.
We really don't.
Yeah. We still work at Chick-fil-A and we're in our 20s. That's pretty sad.
Yeah. And you're taking a gap semester. How's that been treating you?
It's been good. Love getting connected with SALT more. And if you don't know, that's our college ministry here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And just love getting connected in that and having community and fellowship with a group of guys. And yeah, it's been super sweet for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah, just SALT has been a very, very pivotal moment, especially for me and my wife. That's actually like where we both met. We're both serving on our worship team. I was doing like sound that night and she was supposed to be singing, and like we've seen each other, like we knew of each other, but like we didn't like talk to each other, like kind of just like, oh yeah, like I know who you are, but like I've never talked to you before, until she walked up to me and like the very first words that she ever spoke to me were, "I'm so stressed." And if that tells you anything about college, man, I don't know what does. Yeah, she does a lot for her school, like an insane amount. But yeah, dude, SALT is amazing. Got a great group of guys that go there, and yeah, just really love it. And yeah, what's that experience looked like for you recently?
Yeah, so going to SALT on Thursday nights is when it takes place, but also just like getting involved in our connection groups, like our small groups, and just like it's been super sweet to like dive into the word with fellow believers and just like kind of growing more in the faith. And like
you say diving into the word and like faith, like run that down for me.
Yeah, so SALT college ministry, every week we it's kind of like a, I don't want to say like Sunday morning, because it's not the same, but it's kind of the same setup as like a Sunday morning church service.
Mm-hmm.
So like worship, sermon, and then Monday nights is when we have our little small group, and we kind of break down the sermon that took place on Thursday and like talk it through. And
So you said it's not really like a Sunday service. So like, how would you sort of differentiate like SALT from just like a typical Sunday gathering?
Well, I think one thing that kind of is different from a normal Sunday versus a Thursday night SALT is just the ability to worship with believers who are all like in the same like stage of life. Mm-hmm. And like all in like the same age bracket. What is it like?
18 to 23 year olds,
something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just like super sweet to like see people just on fire for the Lord and just like super passionate to come each week and grow, take notes on the sermon. And then, like, it's been super encouraging me for me personally to, like, go to our small groups on Monday and, like, see guys who, like, pull out their notebooks and, like, just have just great notes on the sermon and, like, actually, like, engaging with what's been said on the Thursday night sermons.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's super sick. For sure. I also got the opportunity to be, like, a connection group leader for some of the guys group that go to Salt Company. And, you know, shout out Ben, Riley, and Zach, and Devin. You guys are great. Killing it right now. But it's, I definitely would agree. Like, it's definitely, like, this super encouraging thing to, like, you know, actually go and be a part of. Like, oh, like, I'm, you know, an 18 to 23 year old, and I'm in school right now, and I'm really struggling, like, in life, or, like, with my school, or, like, there's family drama, or there's church drama, or there's even, like, school drama going on, and you just, like, have this opportunity to, like, talk with other people who, like, are going through the exact same way, same things, and you can talk through the exact same ways on, like, how to grow and, like, get better from that. And one of the things, like, I had this question a while back was, like, what separates, you know, Salt Company or, like, other ministries from, like, the church? And so, like, because I thought about it for a while, and, like, I thought to myself, like, well, it can't just be, like, age, because there's certain churches that, like, are just, like, elderly or just, like, young or, like, just, like, that middle age, you know, sort of type of thing. And I also thought to myself, well, it can't just be, you know, like, based off of, like, you know, gender, like, you know, how, like, there's women conferences or men conferences, right, yeah. And, like, different people speak at that, like, that's not, like, the church either. And I actually just found this out that, like, this past year we had, like, a leader retreat for all of, like, the SALT leaders, and like, just, like, to go over, like, hey, like, this is, like, what our vision is for, like, the year. This is how we're, like, going to go, like, out and attack it. And it was super fun. Like, we stayed up, like, super late, and, like, I had just gotten engaged, like, 4 or 5 days before, which is super fun. And I remember Caleb, Moody, and Danny, they were all like, hey, like, you guys just want to, like, talk to Andrew and I. They were like, hey, like, you guys just want to go grab, like, late night McDonald's run. This was, like, at, like, you know, 1, 2 a.m. and, like, in the morning. And we were like, yeah, sure. And I can remember asking them this question, you know, Caleb and Danny, they're both work on staff at Veritas. So, like, I'm thinking, you know, if anyone would know, like, it's the people who, you know, work at a church. And I asked them this question, you know, like, what separates, you know, Salt Company from the church? Or, like, why isn't, you know, sort of going back to, like, the statement of, you know, like, why are women allowed to be preaching in church? Like, why are women preaching in churches, or, like, not really churches, but, like, you know, in different, like, college ministries? Because I've listened to this podcast on Spotify. They're called The Porch. They have, like, a lot of great sermons out there. But recently they've been letting, you know, one of, like, their women pastors speak at that. And they, like, went and prefaced, like, this isn't the church. So, like, I was kind of curious. I'm like, hey, like, Danny and Caleb, like, what separates Salt Company from the church? And they kind of just said, like, it's more of just, like, I forget the word they use, but more of, like, the elements, essentially. You know, like, we take communion as a church. Like, that is commanded, you know, in, like, 1 Corinthians. Like, you know, whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, like, do this in remembrance of me. And he's more so talking, like, to, like, the congregation. Like, Paul is talking to the congregation. Like, you need to do this, like, as a church body. Like, remember Christ's death and resurrection, like, as a church body. And then he also said, like, baptism too is also a big part of it too. Like, you baptize one another, like, within the faith, like, with through the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And, like, it's really this, like, God ordained experience, which, like, baptism is, like, just such a sweet opportunity to just look at other believers and seeing them, like, take their faith seriously and seeing them, like, live differently. And that's, and so they were just like, yeah, like, this is what separates, like, the church from Salt Company. Like, this is the church. Like, we take the elements and we baptize, and, like, that's the difference. And I'm like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
I know, like, I never like thought of it before like that, which I thought was like super cool.
That is super cool. I'm gonna touch on kind of shifting gears. You mentioned that you were a leader. Mm-hmm. What was it, 1 or 2 years?
It was like a year and a half. I'm gonna say. Okay. Yeah.
So like, what was like the most like just like the sweetest experience from just being able to have that opportunity as a leader at Salt Company?
Oh man, there is just so many. I mean, there's a lot of like pros and cons about being a leader. A lot of like, I would say that like being a SALT leader has definitely exposed a lot of hypocrisy in my life. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't tell, you know, like some of my guys like, oh, like you need to like take this sin seriously. But then like, I'm not doing anything in my own life to like take it seriously either. Or like, you know, like you guys need to be reading your Bible like every single, and like being a SALT leader isn't like telling your like guys that are in your group like what to do. It's just more so about like setting an example and like living differently for like those guys to like have an example to follow essentially. But I'd say like probably like the sweetest part, there was like literally my first semester leading, I was leading with Trenton, and we had started like this connection group, and like it was pretty, it wasn't terribly big, but it wasn't terribly small. Like probably had, you know, like 10, 12 guys like come on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the beginning of it, like literally we did this thing called Reach Week, which is this time where like we go out onto Kirkwood's campus and we just try to meet as many college students there as we can and draw them in, like doing like these events, like, oh, like one night we'd have like a bonfire at like the Kirkwood courts, or we would all play kickball, or we would do like the scavenger hunt thing. Nice. And like just do all of these like super fun activities, and just like try to meet people, like basketball, like playing volleyball and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I met this guy, and he came like after the event, I don't remember what it was that night, he came back to Tyler and I's place when I was living with him. And I remember he was just talking with me. He's like, yeah, like yesterday I went to Veritas for the very first time. I'm like, oh, cool. So, you know, like what Veritas is, you know what we're about. And I remember we're taking him out like to the front step and just like, I just had a conversation, wanted to get to know him more. And like in that conversation, like he just fully surrendered like his whole entire life to Christ and like put his faith in Jesus.
That's awesome.
Like the very first time. And dude, it was super sweet. But literally not even kidding, like 2 months later, like there's this guy that kept on showing up, like his name is Devin, super sweet guy, like really amazing brother in Christ.
Shout out to Devin.
He'd been coming a lot and he had experienced a lot of like hurt in his past, just like from family or just like, you know, typical life struggles. And he was just like very interested in like, you know, what we were all about. And we went to this thing called Fall Retreat, which is just like this, you know, little short getaway, like over the fall, just to like grow everyone in your connection group more and everyone in like Cedar Rapids Salt Company as well. And I just remember also like during one of our connection groups we had like at Fall Retreat, he also just like surrendered his life to Jesus too and like put his faith in God. And like even like not even a week later, like Zach Fair also like put his faith in Jesus, and like literally like 3 people in our whole entire connection group like became Christians and put their faith in God and like are now like walking faithfully to like, you know, where God is calling them. And then like not only that, but a couple weeks later, like God had given me like the amazing opportunity to like baptize all 3 of them. And like I'm still super close friends with like all those guys. And yeah, I mean, that's just like one of like the highlights that I just think of. But dude, there's a lot of lows. Like it's very hard. It's a very disciplined thing that you're signing yourself up for. And it's not easy at all. Like it's hard.
Yeah. Well, and like what's cool about that story is like full circle. Devin and Zach, they're now leaders in the connection group that I'm a part of. So like, it's just cool to see how God worked in that, you know, and like how God used Javin mm-hmm. to bring them to him, and then how now he's using Devin and Zach to help lead the group of guys that mm-hmm. we're all part of to grow closer to him. Like that's just super sweet.
I definitely agree. I really, really, really am just blessed by, you know, all of the opportunity that God has given me, and especially in like the past couple of years, even just like with getting married or just like still having like such a great like workplace and a lot of amazing coworkers just to like, you know, hang around with, and even just like people who like challenge me in my faith, you know, shout out Caleb Moody, shout out Nathan, shout out Seth, Jeremy, like Annalise, all of these people that are just like, even my wife too, like, just these, it's a challenge and like it's a lifelong thing, but you know, like I like to tell a lot of people, you know, like we suffer now, but we enjoy eternity with our Father later.
That's and, good. Yeah
and even just like more recently we were able to just like walk through just like, you know, what it looks like to suffer well at church, at Veritas, and also like at Salt Company too, like yeah, and just like very applicable things to like everyone going on, like things that are just going on right now in our culture and in our day and age, and also like in our community too. Yeah
those coming back to kind of what you said, those sermons were super sweet to just listen to, and like what was it, a week ago
yeah, something like that.
The sermon at Salt was, on suffering, like what you said, and with the story of Joseph and like how God used, his brothers throwing him into a pit and then being sold and working in a house and then being accused of sexual misconduct and then being thrown into jail. Like just the whole, just.
And that lasted like 13 years.
Yeah. Like it's a crazy, crazy story there in Genesis 37 through 39, and like it's just so cool to just be able to read like stories like that in the Word and just see that God is fully in control and like he is sovereign and his plan is perfect, you know.
Yeah.
And like we can try to plan our lives, but like God, he's perfect, he's got us. And like it's just,
yeah. Something that I really like love about that is the verse that Danny was touching on, and he said, you know, like for what the enemy planned for evil, like God meant it for good.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the time, a lot of us like in life, like me including, like I like to take earthly circumstances, and like by earthly, I just mean, you know, like everyday circumstances that like I don't really make too much out of, and just like don't really think of it in that perspective of like, oh, what is God trying to, instead of like asking like, why is this happening to me? Like this shouldn't be happening to me. Like this is unfair. I should be asking myself more of like, you know, why, like God, what are you trying to like teach me through this? Or like you say, like in his Word, like this is like everything too. Like the Bible is known to be true.
I'm about to cough. It's about to be really crazy.
That's,
all right, we're good. My bad.
Anyway.
My fault.
And, like, the really cool part is everything to this day, like, is also still true based around, like, that passage. Like, what the enemy meant for evil. Like, the enemy referring to, like, Satan and the devil. What the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. Like, everything that has happened, past, present, and future, like God is meaning for good, mostly directed towards our development, but number one, just going back to like his glory and like how powerful and how strong he is. And I mean, we've, like I said, like we've all gone through like our own struggles and our own like suffering in our life, but God means it for good. Like genuinely, you can see that through probably the biggest and the hardest thing ever, which is like Jesus, like the story of Jesus. Like we think of the story of Joseph and we're like, man, like that's hard. Like he got betrayed by his brothers. He got beaten by his brothers. He got thrown into a pit. And like, you cannot make this stuff up. He got thrown into a pit and his brothers literally just sat down right outside the pit and just started eating. Like imagine you get thrown into your pit by your brothers, and they just like, just start eating. And
they start emoting on you.
Start emoting on you. And then like, not only that, but then like they sell you for just like a couple bucks.
Yeah.
And then,
and like, it also points to how Jesus was betrayed by one of his own, you know?
Exactly.
And like Judas, he sold out for 30 pieces of silver.
Which is, like, worth, like, what, like, 10 bucks?
I don't even know, but,
if like... if even that.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know. It's interesting to see just, like, how the story of Joseph also points to the story of Jesus and, like, his life, you know? And, like, Jesus, he, like, endured everything perfectly, mm-hmm. you know? Like, he never gave in to sin. Like, I think of the 40 days in the wilderness where he was tempted mm-hmm. and, like, he... didn't eat or drink for 40 days in the wilderness, and yet he still endured, he still resisted temptation, and at any point he could have given in, and yet he still chose to
and who was he tempted by?
Satan himself. And like I don't know, it's just super comforting to know that we have a perfect Savior who was willing to endure all that for mm-hmm. us. 33 years Jesus perfectly didn't give in, he endured suffering for us. It was,
and like that is like he was, like Seth was saying, like he was betrayed by one of his like closest friends. Mm-hmm. He was beaten by Roman soldiers. He was whipped with shards of glass within the whip that when they whipped it and they pulled on it, your skin would just shred and cut and bleed into like blood would be coming out of like his bones and stuff like that. And not only that, but like he got spat on, like he was made fun of. He had a crown of thorns shoved into his head, and the thorns were known to be 3 inches long, shoved into his head. And then after he was humiliated, he had to carry a cross, which was known to be upwards of like 150 to 200 pounds, up a hill to where he was going to die, in which he had nails hammered into his hands and feet. And then while he was pulling up, gasping for air, because he was also being suffocated at the same time. And you know what he said as he was hanging there on that tree? He looked out at all the people that were making fun of him, the people that beat him, the people who hammered nails, the people who were literally killing them. He looked out into the world. He looked out to the people. And you know what he said? This just gets me every time. I just can't even think to have this mindset. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And he was still advocating for us, like when he went to the cross. Like he said, "God, like, don't take your wrath and your anger out on him. Like, God's holy, righteous, justified anger and wrath on these people, take it out on me." And he said, "Forgive them for what they're doing, because they don't even know what they're actually doing." Mm-hmm. Like, talk about love. Talk about forgiveness. Like, I could not even imagine. Like, I'm gonna be honest, like if someone would even spit in my face, dude, I'd be triggered. I would just be pissed. Yeah. But this just shows like the loving nature of like our Savior and our God. And even like while we're walking through like suffering or just confusion or just like even chaos or just like where we think we might be at like the lowest of lows, we can still look to like people like Joseph, but even better, like example, like our Savior Jesus. And like, I cannot explain it to you, but that helps me get through like my hardest times day in and day out. And I heard a saying once from one of the sermons at Veritas. They said, the worst possible thing talking about the death of Jesus and then the cross happened to the best possible person, which is Jesus. So that the worst possible people, which is us, could receive the best possible outcome, which is eternity. Mm. The worst possible thing happened to the best possible person, so the worst possible people could have the best possible outcome.
That's so good.
And the reason like we're making a big deal about this is because like one, this all happened. Like even historians, like you can ask historians, like, yeah, like Jesus was real. Like God was real. Like this isn't just a part of history. Like this is like real life. And like the Bible tells us, you know, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And like, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, like you will be saved. Mm-hmm. You'll be saved from that wrath that I was talking about earlier from God. You'll be saved into heaven. Like a lot of people are like, don't really think about that, myself included. Like, I don't really think about heaven as much as I should, but what a beautiful gift, free gift, that all we have to do is just believe in Jesus and God and obey and trust him, and we'll have eternity with him forever. Yeah. And like, that's such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
And it's crazy to think that Jesus would take and endure the suffering for us, but also that he didn't stay dead, you know? Like, that's the gospel, that he came and he died and he rose again for us. He stayed in the grave for 3 days, but on that third day, he came and he rose and defeated death and, like you said, made a way for us to spend eternity with him. And, like, that is just...
Yeah.
In such an ugly story of just suffering and just pain, like, it is so beautiful, just
that... He makes a way out for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, like... Everyone lives forever. It just depends on where you live. Yeah. And, you know, like, I'm also not going to shy away from just speaking the truth of, like, heaven and hell are very two real places. Mm-hmm. But God makes a way for us to experience eternity, in which the Bible tells us that in heaven there's going to be no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering. Like Jesus himself will wipe every single tear from our eyes. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making all things new. Write these words down, for they're trustworthy and true. And like, that's quoting the Bible right there. But like, it's so cool. And like, we're celebrating, you know, like the resurrection of Jesus and the death of Jesus, like in a couple weeks because of Easter. Get a quick plug in, Veritas's Easter service. It's happening at the Paramount downtown Cedar Rapids. There'll be three services, 8 a.m., 9:30 and 11. If you're even just considering, you know, like, what does this look like for, like, Christianity, or like, you want to learn more, or even if you are just like a Christian listening to this, like, I highly recommend you come to that, because, man, it's awesome. It's one of my favorite things that we do all year. And yeah.
And like, even if you're like listening to this podcast, I don't even know if you've made it, what are we at, almost half an hour in, and if you're still listening to this, thank you. But if any of this has convicted you at all, don't hesitate to reach out to someone you know who's saved, or even reach out to us here at the podcast at email?
deepfriedpodcast@gmail.com.
deepfriedpodcast@gmail.com. If we got that wrong, because we have not used that email in 2 years, if we got that wrong, we will put it in the description of this podcast.
Yeah.
Hit us up with an email.
Or even if you're like, dude, this was like the worst podcast ever, like, feel free to just email us. Yeah.
We're also open to to negative comments too.
Absolutely.
We know that we kind of suck at podcasting. Like, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had so much fun just talking with my boy Javin for the last half an hour.
Oh yeah. Even just like we literally just were like, hey, we're bored, let's start up the podcast again.
Yeah.
And so here we are, and we're gonna try our best to make some more. I know we said that 2 years ago.
Probably be another two.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, I just want to thank you guys all for just taking the time listening in. And yeah, if you enjoyed it, don't forget to follow us, share this with some other people. Yeah. We'd love to keep doing more of this stuff too. And with that being said, I'm Jevin Joyce.
I'm Seth Gaylor.
Thank you for joining the Deep Fried Podcast. Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.